Thank you, Brad, Jennifer, thank you. Do you always smile? Have you ever frowned? Wow. Wow. What a smile. What a smile. Let's see, I promised that I would mention that the election office at Wood County will be open tomorrow morning, or tomorrow, I guess all day, till 3 p.m. for you to try out the voting machine. And then you can, my understanding is you can go by, try it, then you can vote it as to whether you like it or not, or what you feel like you want. So this gives the county a number, a task. Hopefully enough people will go and vote no, that they don't want the big machine. Now, there are really two machines involved that they're trying to sell you. One does everything, and the other one just counts a paper ballot that's pre-printed. So what we want is that one machine that just counts them. Can't trust them either, but they're better than the alternative. Heart machines is the one that's employed by the county, and, you know, those machines require maintenance, and they own the machine, that company, and so they control it all. They really have all the control over all the information in the machine. Well, that's what they say, yeah. That's the game plan. That's the game plan. Yes. I go into the good news and bad news. You don't know for sure how this total really goes, but those meetings in California, they report that they have a lot of conversions from those meetings in the California last weekend. 11 places had approximately 1,000 people each, and they reported a lot, but of course that isn't in the news, and so I don't really have totals on it, and you don't really know, I mean, whether those people, I can remember going to this, the programs at the Coffeyville Auditorium, and that same man walked down every time we went. And so how they count them is a thing that has to be looked at, too. Another good news is 86 people were here Sunday for the service. That has to be good news. And let's see. So, yes, some good news. And I have a sheet here with some other. Another Democrat left the party and turned Republican. Constitutional carry has passed in several states. Another state has passed abortion limiting to the first 3 weeks, 3 months. And in case you want to know, Anheuser-Busch is having a real serious problem because they have adopted the lesbian ideas and mission statement, and so people have quit buying the product. In fact, it's gotten so bad that the people that deliver that are hurting money-wise, and it's reported on the news. So the anyway, the boycott's working. In case you imbibe that beverage, don't. Get something else. That's kind of where we are. We really don't know what's coming down the pike with all the things that are going on. The bad news. The federal government is trying to establish two new nationalities, and I think they're adding Mexican to a new nationality. I don't know what the other one was, but the idea is to split the country even more. Of course, new genders are unlimited. We have not been able to confirm this, have we, about the air traffic. We haven't been able to confirm it, but we've had unconfirmed information that the airplanes that you fly on for travel have dual purposes that nobody seems to really know about, and we've talked to Bruce's brother, who is an air pilot, and he's looking into it. He denies that it occurs, but he said he would look into it and hasn't been calling back. So I think there's something serious to this that he hasn't called back, because hasn't called back to tell us that it does not occur. But what they are doing, and as you look in the sky and see those trails, that's not from the normal flying of the airplane. The accusation is, and the pictures we saw of Missouri, it is one big trail from one horizon to the other. They are blocking out, the sun rays to destroy the farmland. Now, if that's true, if that's verified, we're paying to travel, and we're paying for this stuff in the plane, these mechanical devices in the plane. And that showed multiple, the picture that we had of the plane, diagram, global dimming. Global dimming. Now, I haven't seen the entrails as much in Texas, like they showed in that picture. That was just awesome. Almost turned the sun dark. So he's been pretty accurate when he has reported stuff. It's all been verified, pretty accurate. Another problem that we have is the artificial intelligence concerns for that. There's a leak at the Pentagon that has the military brass up in arms, and foreign countries apparently distrusting the United States. Well, duh. I'm wondering how long they've been trusting the United States anyway, and it doesn't sound like some of them trust us at all anyway, so I'm not sure that's harmed us, but certainly the leak is serious, because it may just lead to growing war. In case you want to know, the dimming goes with the growing of crickets. There are starting cricket farms. They plan to feed the people, you see. When we get rid of the beef product, then we plan to feed the people crickets. Get your protein someplace. The crazy part of it is, you see, if the cows don't create a little fertilizer, then the plants don't grow, and the crickets grow on the plants, and so they need the plants. And so what we're doing is we're just being crazy. New restrictions on the cars are trying to get rid of all the cars that new, especially all new cars that have anything to do with gas. And I still want to see President Biden travel to a foreign country on a battery-operated plane. When that happens, then I'll buy the battery stuff. But otherwise, I'm not into it. A number of years ago, the people that were involved in building cars that were safe were having a convention, and so the engineers were there, and the engineers were talking about building a safe car, and this is like 20, 30 years ago when cars were cars and didn't have all the video and the back seat, the cameras in the back and everything. And basically they were trying to figure out some way that you could have a crash-worthy car, a car that would be crash-worthy. And so they go through this, spend 8-9 hours going all through it, talk about the tires and everything. They get down to the end of the day and they say, well, basically, we don't know. If you can tell us what kind of an accident you're going to be in, then we can tell you how we can build a car that will protect you. And you just don't know. You just don't know what kind of an accident you're going to be in. But if you really need to know, then you need to get the heaviest car going the fastest, and that will probably be best results. So a U.S. tank is going faster than the Cadillac is always going to win. Well, we don't know, and we don't know what's coming down the pike, and we see all this. You know, it isn't like a number of years ago when we had the bad financial things and people were fishing for money and jobs and stuff, trying to just survive, get something to eat. It isn't like that, because what we're facing is all sorts of things that are weird, really weird, people that are weird, ideas that are weird, and we really don't know what's coming down the pike. We don't have any idea what's coming down the pike. So, people have a tendency, when we don't know, to be fearful and afraid. So my question is, what do we do? What do we do? And I was dreaming, I guess, last time when I was here, because I said I wanted to really kind of go into about 6 things that I think the Bible tells us to do under these circumstances, and then about 6 things that we ought to do as a practical matter under these circumstances. And the more I've dug into it, the harder and more difficult the whole thing has become. So I want to share with you about 3 things that I think the Bible recommends that we do under these circumstances. Now, you got to understand that we don't know what's going to happen. So we really don't know. Coach mentioned that young man that shot the guy that assaulted him and killed him. And the governor's trying to get him a pardon because what he did was in self-defense and shouldn't have been convicted at all. You don't know what's going to happen, so you don't know when that's going to happen. But we try to cover and recover from those things, the tornado. Those people up there are on the corners of the street up there, and they've set up tents, some of these Christian organizations, churches. A church from Dallas is one that's gone up into Arkansas, they send men up there with chainsaws, and it's funny to watch my son-in-law Andy. He loves to get that chainsaw out. So the minute the tornado was over, he was going to the store because he needed a part for the chainsaw. Put the chainsaw back together, and then he's hauling over two or three blocks away and cutting trees down for people he doesn't know. Just loves to use that chainsaw. When he comes to visit Bruce, she just gets out our chainsaw and lets him chop away. Boy, what a blessing. Get that free labor. But anyway, that we just don't know what's coming. But when I'm talking here now, like tonight, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? You see, when I start talking about, and I do a lot of the messages about what we should do. What we should do doesn't have anything to do with our salvation. It's after we have salvation. So I want to make it clear that work is not a part. This work that we talk about here is not part of what we have to do to be saved. And I know everybody here pretty much buys into that and believes that, and so I don't think that's probably really an issue, but that's what I'm doing. And we went through a lot of the bad news, but we're just facing so much. We're facing the border problems. Canada is also getting people coming across now, and they're having problems up there on that border. The war is continuing to go on, and we're funding the war. It's our war. We're paying for it. We have threats from China, Russia, Middle East, the banking issues. Oh, my. They're talking about, you know, maybe our local bank is going under. Gas prices, chickens. Ruth bought a chicken the other day. It's nine bucks, I think, instead of $3.45, which it was just a few years ago. Food has gone up. The Pentagon leak, the nation's lost. The shootings that are going on, the abortions, the food supplies, the gas reserves, all of these problems. And it's enough to make you a little bit nervous about what's going on. So what do we do as believers? What do we do as believers to be prepared for what? And I'm aware of a family that I know fairly well. And one of the members of the family says, you know, with all these things going on, I don't do anything. Because you see, God tells us He will take care of us. So I don't do anything. Now his brother, on the other hand, is getting chicken coop, is getting all sorts of food stored, he's getting ammunition, he's getting all of this stuff. And the other brother is just making money. He's just doing what makes money. And that's really what's important to him, making money. So what do we do? Do we just rely on God to fix? Well, God says, I think he's right. God says he will be there for us. He's with us always. So I think that's a possibility. But God also encourages being prepared. So maybe that guy's right. So, well, maybe just making money so they can turn it into geckos or whatever it is they're planning on doing. They're going to change our money up. Can't you imagine them taking those silver dollars that everybody's collected and put in the safe deposit box? Can't you imagine how they're going to do that? Because the silver itself is worth more than a dollar, and can't you imagine the problem that's going to come from that? And then what about the ones you forget? If you don't turn them in time, why are they lost? And what if the dollar bills that, you know, we collected back when it was a reserve note that was backed by gold? What if you've got one of those? How do you handle that? Oh, boy, it's going to be, we're looking at some really fun things coming down the pike. And you know what I think? What I think we need to do is to look at it maybe a different way. We're not in the problem. We're not in the situation like the hobos were during the Depression. I looked up a little bit about the hobos. That's kind of interesting, but that's the way they dealt with it. You see, in those days, the problem was a job. Food on the table, and getting a job was food. Getting food on the table, and the hobo thing all arose, you see, because what they needed to do was they needed to find itinerant work. And the itinerant work was on the Kansas farm when they needed to harvest the wheat. That was good for a week. Hey. And so they were riding the trains, hobos were, riding the trains to find itinerant work. They coined a term back then, dirt poor. Well, it was dirt poor because, you see, they had a house that they built, they intended to finish, but it was a dirt floor. But it's where the dirt poor comes from. Times were tough. And the hobos were the ones that traveled to get a little work, find a job. Some of the hobos owned pretty good-sized houses, just didn't have money to feed some family. It's even reported that Chief Justice Douglas traveled to and from school from West Coast to the East Coast by boxcar, because he had a scholarship for full tuition and board and room, but he didn't have money to travel college. Now, the ones that traveled that didn't want to find work, they were called tramps. And they had a whole different scheme. What the tramps did is they had little gizmos that they made. They took cigar boxes and carved designs into the old wooden cigar boxes, and they would do little chores like butcher a chicken or something for part of the chicken or something, but they didn't work. They didn't literally work. They were just called tramps. And it's interesting. It's kind of funny to see all of the things they did in Britt, Iowa. They have the annual hobo convention. And there are hobos there that are real hobos, and there are hobos that are pretend hobos that are just trying to protect the tradition and the whole thing. Well, in that camp, then there is what they call the kitchen, outdoor equipment. Fire in the center of this camp at Britt, Iowa. It's always been there. Been there for the years they were traveling. And those hobos that went there were Redbird, Bookworm, Frisco Jack. If you had a bundle, you had a bedroll. And if you had a poke, you had a wallet with maybe some money in it, and if you had $100 on the plate, you had a can of beans. The jungle boss was the kitchen boss. They had different kinds of names for the trains, the flyers, the hot shots, the red balls. Those were fast freight. Catching out was hopping the train. To die was to fall off the train and die, but they called that westbound. But that's what they did. And see, that's not going to work. We got all these, and we don't know which one's coming. We don't know whether it's the gas. We don't know whether it's the food. We don't know which one's coming. So our situation is we may be out of water, food, gas. Medical's already a serious problem, I think, because we're 2 months down the pike, and it's going to get worse for cancer people. Food and medical's just issues. So, what do we do? Well, I looked at John 14:27. You don't need to go there because I'm just going to read it here out of my notes. Peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, what do we do? Well, I think the Bible gives us three things, and I'll list them, and then you can go home, and there I can discuss them with you. But first thing I think the Bible tells us to do is to pray. And you know, I've gone over that prayer, those prayer lessons, three or four times. But you see, I'm aware that I don't pray enough. So this lesson is really for me because, you see, I know Renee needs prayer. But sometimes it's kind of the last one I get to, or I don't get to. I know that if I don't pray, and her daughters don't pray, and she doesn't pray, then God doesn't hear from anybody about her. She needs prayer. So it's me that I'm talking to, and I'm not really trying to rail against those of you that are involved. People that are not here, maybe, but not you all. But anyway, let me turn to 2 Chronicles first. 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to read two verses out of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 9, first. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 9. If when evil come upon us as a sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Now, I take it when he says cry out, he's talking about praying. So, Old Testament, they were suggesting you pray. 20, verse 20, verse 12, or chapter 20, verse 12, right down the page. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that come against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. So here they are praying, we have no power. We have no power to do anything against these people that are coming against us. And that's exactly where we are here in this world right now, because we have no power over what the government apparently is undertaken to do. We have no power over what the farmer does. We have no power over whether they raise bugs or not. So, this is exactly where we are. So, what does God say to do? Well, now, turn to 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7. This is Bruce's favorite verse, so I get credit tonight when I get home. 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Nothing we would like any better than healing our land. And it's so simple if we just humble ourselves and then God heals our land. But you see what's happening in this country is Ray North may pray, Ruth may pray, Nancy may pray, but those people out there aren't praying. If God doesn't hear for a few more than just the three of us or five of us or seven of us or our church full, why would he be motivated to do too much? I think he says somewhere in the Bible that if they don't come around, let them go. Just let them go. Let them go. Oh, man. So, even with our efforts to pray, we got issues. Well, that's Old Testament was the New Testament, say. Psalm, it's still the Old Testament, I guess, so I go to Psalm here first. But anyway, let me read that, and then we'll go to the New Testament. Psalm 72:15. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. Now I put that in there because this adds to what I just said, is if just us in here are praying to heal this land, it's not very impressive, I wouldn't think, to God. And if just us are praising occasionally, that's not continually. Sounds like to me God means business. God really means business. He means business all the time. Continually. All the time. Now we can go to Matt. Matthew 5. 43, Matthew 5, 43 and 44. This is where prayer where God establishes prayer is just so difficult for us and so all encompassing. But if we read 5:43, Matthew 5:43 and 44, ye have heard it that hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And oh boy, now they're talking to me about praising the person that persecutes me? Well, how many of the people in the church service would do that? How many of the people out there would even think of doing that? And you know, if God doesn't hear from somebody more than just me, or just you all, or just the people in the church service, what's to motivate him to get high behind and do anything that he promised? that's part of our suffering because the people are not following him. The way he's done business, just the way he's done business. Now, I've got some verses here that I want to share with you that I don't plan for you to turn to, and I've shortened them down to my way of saying them. And if I'm wrong about the way I conclude that the verse says, you can be very polite and call it to my attention, and I won't get mad at all. I may even enjoy the process. John 17:9, pray for them which are mine. Pray for them which are mine. So we ought to be praying for those people that are in our congregation. We ought to be praying for them. Acts 6:4, give ourselves constantly to prayer. So here we are confirming, you see, in the New Testament what I just read, to be praying all the time. And I have to admit, I have a tough time doing that. I've got other things that I think are kind of fun to do. So, Romans 8:26. We know what we should pray for, but the Spirit makes intercession for us. So the Spirit helps us out. He's there willing to help us out, and we still have difficulty getting to it. I do. Philippians 4:6, in everything prayer, let your requests be made known to God. Timothy 2:8, therefore men pray everywhere. And then James 5:13, and I'm going to read this, James 5:13-16. Just adds a little more burden to where I think I am and where I failed, fall short, so short, because we slight the prayer. James 5:13-16. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders over of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him. Now we're messing with the next idea, and I'll get to it in a minute. But 14 suggests that we do something, help him. And 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not anything we haven't read before, not anything we don't understand, and not anything that I desire to do. Just have difficulty getting it done. Just have difficulty being on target and praying for the sick, and praying for everybody here. It's tough. Don't get around to it. Okay. That's pretty clear. We ought to be praying. But you see, if I'm locked up in jail, or if I'm at home and I can't get gas to go get groceries, or if can't go anywhere, so I pray there, but what else does God have us do? Well, God suggests we do the works of God. Real interesting, because you see, I'm locked up in jail. Now, how am I going to do that? If you've got the book or the word or what have you, that's easy. You can read the word, study the word. But let's see what some of these Let's see what some of these verses say. Ecclesiastes 3:17. I'll read it. Ecclesiastes 3:17. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, and there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. So we turn next to John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. In 1 Timothy 6:6, I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 4:6-16. 1 Timothy 4:6-16. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is a profitable unto all things, having a promise of the life that now is and of which it is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, and be thou an example of the believers in word and in conversation and in charity and in spirit and in faith and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and to doctrine. Now, that's a little bit hard to do if you're in the prison, but you see those people who have been through the prison, and Alexander Brunson has reported he had a terrible time with this. He could recall the verses, you see, but he was worried about himself. So he wasn't able to put aside his concern and fear for himself and really concentrate on the verses. He did use the verses. He probably knew them better than most of us, but prisoners that have survived the prison camps in Japan and China and Germany have all indicated that part of the process is to recall the word as best we can with what we have, with where we are right now. We're old. Ruth and I are old. We really cannot travel comfortably anywhere to visit the family anymore. So for me to go visit my daughters and my granddaughters in Colorado is a pain. A pain that's just really too painful. Knees hurt, can't sit comfortably in the car, don't sleep, it's just hard. But we can write a letter, and we can call them, and we can talk to them, and so we use the facilities we have to share that gospel message, to do God's work, to remember Christ, to help others remember Christ. If we're going through problems here, then you can count on and you can believe that those people in other states are going through problems too. And they may be in worse shape than we are. So, Turn to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Or I'd probably go through 6. Second Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I charge thee therefore before Christ, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers and having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, telling us to do the work of the evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought the good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. So, we're to share the gospel message. And there won't be the first jailer if you were to talk to a jailer, the first jailer that somebody converted while they were in jail. Wouldn't be the first one. Wouldn't be the first one. So, do the works. Do what you can. You may be very restricted and limited, but God wants you to do what you can to do His work. And while you're doing that, you see, there's another thing that I think God tells you to do, regardless of what and that's to rest. He tells you to rest. And if you're in jail, that's hard to do. Brunson had trouble with it. Hard to do. Hard to do for me sometimes, laying in bed to rest. Hard for me to do sitting in the chair. Really hard for me to do stand for long periods of time. But he said for us to rest, to get in a position of rest as best we can. And if we're in jail, the situation is you just have to do the best you can. But remember to rest. Remember to exercise. Remember to play. Part of rest. Remember to think of the songs that you sang as kids. Even if it is Mersey Doats, Dozy Doats. Remember those. Give yourself some relief from. And see, Brunson had a terrible time with this. Good, strong Christian man, but he rewrites and tells he had a terrible time with it. But if you make up your mind, regardless of where you are and what you're doing, that you'll take the rest, take the break, get some rest and get comfortable. It starts off right in Exodus, and I'm just going to quote what it says. And he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest." That's not a rest that we really think of. It's not like a vacation. It's not like it's a rest. It's you rest from the work that you're doing. You rest from the pressure you're doing. And frankly, those people that survived well in the prison camps, imagine the rest. They imagined the forest and the trees. They imagined they did that in order to survive. So no matter how tough it is, God wants you to rest. He wants you to take time off. He wants you to have time for the music. Listen to the sounds of the birds if they're available, even if you're in the jail. Listen. So, Turn to Jeremiah 6, 16, just the one verse there, 6, 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But you see, the people said they will not walk therein. If we are in a bad situation, and we will not walk in there, where therein, we can expect the mental faculty that we have, our ability to understand, our ability to cope, we can understand it will be deteriorated if we can't undertake to walk therein and rest our souls and consider our situation as best we can, to put it in the best light possible and to make the most use of the time that we have there. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 28. Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We need to remember that, regardless of what happens. The gas or oil, whatever, any of this that happens to us, we need to remember this. Are we prepared? Can we prepare? Could we even possibly prepare for what might come? I mean, we can prepare for a tornado and put a little cement house in underground out behind my shop to prepare me for a tornado. But what if it's a bomber from China? We don't know. How do we prepare? You see, we're like those mechanics for the cars. If you tell me what's going to happen, then I can tell you how to prepare, but if I don't know what's going to happen, how are you going to prepare? So prepare the best you can for what you think might happen, and then be prepared to pray, to do the work that God would have you do as best you can under your circumstances at the time where you are. And see if it's just old folk like me writing a note to the granddaughter, then that may be the best we can do. It may be, you see, when I wrote the note to Annika and I said that those boys in her class that were giving her flack and trouble and calling her names and stuff like that, that some of those boys, no matter how hard she works or no matter how good she is at teaching that class, some of those boys are never going to grow up. They just never will. Doing anything you can. You have to do the best you can under the circumstances. And her circumstances are she's got 14, 15 boys that are picking at her. That gives you experience. That gives you experience, you see, to use the next time the problem gets bigger and worse and harder to deal with. And what they pay some of those lawyers for is not that they're smart. They pay the lawyers and those CPAs because they got experience. They've been there. They've been in the pit. They've been arguing the case, or they've been working with IRS. They know what they're doing. They're there because they know what they're doing. experience that we get, wherever it is, Brunson, wherever it is, it's an experience that God's given you, and we need to look at it as an experience that makes us a better person. Hard, difficult, impossible. That's what God wants us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you that we have opportunities to experience the tough things, and that we have experience dealing with them, which gives us experience for the next one and gives us the opportunity to share the gospel message sometimes with somebody that you would never dream would listen. We pray, Father, for the church and the congregation and for each and every person that comes and visits this congregation. We pray that they hear your word, your lessons, and what you would have them say, what you would want your teachers and preachers to say. We pray that it's your church and that we are doing what you would have us do, that we would be glorifying you in each and everything that we do. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.